Literally, I get a phone call, and it's Jesse calling me, and he said, "You're a sellout, you motherfucker."
Today, we are getting weird on The Greatest Stories Never Told. My friend Niels Juhl is in the house, and he is going to expose the dark underbellies of worlds where most people only see the surface. He's produced movies like The Irishman with Martin Scorsese. He was a founding partner in the brand Von Dutch, which became an international sensation. But today, we're talking about the dark side. We're gonna talk about counterfeiters. We're gonna talk about the things behind the scenes in Hollywood that the friendly advertisements don't talk about. We're gonna go deep, we're gonna go dark. I hope you're ready for Greatest Stories Never Told with Niels Juhl. You remember model rockets?
Yeah.
You take their engines and crack them apart to get the gunpowder?
No.
So you put those in the pipe, and if you seal the pipe, it's a serious bomb, but with the pipe just facing up, do like a cool mushroom cloud.
Holy shit.
And so...
How old were you?
15,
oh my
maybe,
God.
Maybe,
oh
maybe
my God.
14, I don't know. I was young. So yeah. we did this one, and then the way we'd light it is just throwing matches at it. You know, you can throw a match like this.
Yeah, but from like what? Like 5 feet away?
Yeah, pretty much.
Fucking A.
And then we're throwing matches at it, and it's not lighting.
Fucking A.
And so my brother goes to look at it, and he just goes boom on his face.
No.
This was one of those like really scary points, and it was like in his face. And his face was black. And I was like, oh, fuck. Come inside. Are you burnt? And we brought him inside. We brought him in the shower.
Right.
And we started showering him. And all his hair was falling out.
Shit.
Because it was all singed.
Dude.
Yeah, I was like washing him. And the hair was just falling out. I was like, oh, fuck. We're going to have to tell mom and dad about this one. Just like.
Oh, no. You got to go. Oh, you go. Shit. You gotta go tell the Pope.
But we ended up not telling him. He was missing an eyebrow and they never noticed.
Wait, so, oh my God. That's the story. Now I'm going to interview you. What was it with that fascination with these bomb things?
I don't know, man. It was a big one, though. Yeah, we were totally into that.
Yeah.
There was this thing called the Anarchist Cookbook.
Right.
Kevin, are you recording this?
It's good.
There was something called the Anarchist Cookbook.
Yeah.
And you could get it on a little disc. A compact disc back in the day.
Okay.
And it had all these recipes. It had like 50 recipes for evil shit. So it would be like how to hack phone lines and make long distance calls, different types of bombs, different types of pranks.
Because we wanted to do that stuff.
Yeah. And one of those was how to make an exploding arrow. And I had this crossbow.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And basically what you do is you take the arrow, which is a aluminum shaft.
Yes.
You fill it up with gunpowder. And then you take a primer... which is like a thing that makes a spark, and you put it on the top of the arrow, and then you put a BB on top of the primer, which is the thing that'll hit the primer, and then you put a piece of tape over it.
Yeah.
And then when you shoot it, and it hits something, the BB hits the primer, which hits the arrow and makes it explode.
You did that.
I made those, yes.
Oh,
it's
my
like
God.
Making a mini rocket launcher.
Well, hang on. Out of all the things on that disc, how many did you accomplish? Like, how many was there of bad things you could do?
Oh, there was a lot, man. Like, there was 50-something, probably.
That would be fun to find that list. And see how many
you
checked off.
I'm sure it's around. Yeah, that would be fun.
Right.
See which ones we have to check off now because we're behind.
Although we shouldn't publish it because there'll be big liabilities.
We didn't. There was this thing called phone freaking.
Right.
Do you remember this?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So
yeah.
We didn't get into much of that. But
no.
But maybe a third of the cookbook was phone freaks.
Well, we used to order like if there was a particular dad at somebody girl that we liked that had been horrible. You know, we would order like 100 pizzas and all that and plumbers and things to their house,
man.
Right? Didn't you do those?
We did TPing of houses. We didn't do that. Well, have you heard of swatting where they order the SWAT team to the house?
Oh, yes.
That's what the kids are doing these days.
That's what they're doing now.
Yeah.
That's a little more serious.
Yeah.
No, we would order like literally like there was one particular father that not hated me, but he wouldn't let me date his daughter. And it was pretty awful. And he kicked me out of the house.
Mm.
So we decided the revenge would be to order a plumber, a window polisher, and all. Because back in the day, people would just show up and do services.
Mm.
So we had their window, like we had people come and do their windows.
Oh, wow.
We had a gardener show up. We had like, so a whole crew of people.
Oh, and they just started doing this stuff.
They started doing stuff.
Oh, wow.
And billing him. So, you know, there were like cars and cars and cars of services in the street. Right?
That's pretty funny.
I thought it was, that could go on that list, couldn't it? I mean, that's...
That could. One of my favorite ones I heard is actually by a copywriter named Gary Halbert.
Okay.
And he said his favorite revenge thing to do would be to go over to someone's house and take a bunch of photos of the outside of their house.
Okay.
And of their car. Yeah. And hopefully you catch them walking out.
Yeah.
You know, find pictures of them from around, you know, and print some of those out. And print out like 20 copies of these pictures.
Okay.
And then you go to Kmart or something and you get those cheap wallets. And you put the pictures in the wallets. And then in the wallets, you put in a note that says $100 reward if found and returned to. And then you put their address. And then you go down to like Compton or, you know, South Central LA and just sprinkle the wallets all around. And then the people would be showing up at the dude's
house.
That's
so fucking brilliant. That's so good.
And they'd be like, hey, you know, where's my $100? And the guy'd be like, well, that's not my wallet. They'd be like, your pictures are in it right here.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That is genius. And it's on such a level of genius that nobody should be offended by that one. That's just clever.
Yeah, yeah. That's why he was the greatest copywriter of all time.
What a great prank. I mean, okay, on the receiving end of it, maybe after like the 40th person, it wears out. Oh,
Niels, thanks for being on the show, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Craig.
I have been so excited for this episode because some of the stories you've told me, I repeat, I feel like almost daily. You've seen some weird shit in your day.
Yes.
And I know you started off your career, at least on the American side, basically showing up in Los Angeles with a couple of suitcases and a funky mustache.
A very funky mustache, okay, yeah.
That, yeah.
You know, like porn star mustache, you know, the one that goes over a little too much.
Yeah,
yeah.
And why not the mustache today?
Well, because it made me look like the girl from ABBA, the blonde one with a mustache, because I also had long curly hair.
Ah, gotcha.
So the look wasn't great.
Okay.
And but I did come from Denmark dripping wet behind the ear with my mustache.
Okay.
With two suitcases of eyeglasses trying to come here and sell because I had a sort of ulterior motive plan to go and study at UCLA Extension.
Okay.
Which is the UCLA of the people that can't get into the real...
For
film.
Okay. That's where they put the mustache people. Yeah, got it. Okay. So you...
Correct. Yeah, the mustache people go to the right. Yeah, yeah. You can only go to night school.
Gotcha.
You're really too ugly for day school.
Okay. So, no, but that's what brought you to America, was to study film at UCLA.
Yeah, because I had a good career in advertising in Copenhagen. I was Mr. Cool. I was like the madman of Copenhagen. I thought so myself.
Okay.
Except for the mustache. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then I got an offer to go and sell eyeglasses for this Danish company here in LA. And I thought, no. But then I thought, well, wait a minute. That's where all the movie stars are. That's where the movies are made. And I always had a liking for movies. So I thought I could come here and go to UCLA Extension. And then immediately after, I would be picked up as a director.
Gotcha.
Clearly. Because, you know, night school.
Night school. Yeah.
Hollywood top. That's how it goes.
Gotcha. Okay.
Maybe not. But yeah, that was the start.
All right.
That was the beginning.
And were you was Scorsese doing his thing back then?
He was already there, and he was an idol of mine, of course. And I had always had a fascination for, I suppose, and that's maybe why I had ended up in advertising, because I always have this fascination of the creative process, whatever that might be, but then also turning it into something tangible. So in advertising, working with the best creatives, but then getting it into something that meant something for a product or delivering it on a time and whatever. So maybe that bridge between creative and business was always something that I loved. And when I was studying, my liking to film was actually from more like producing or directing rather than acting or, you know. So
you wanted to be the maker, the creator that put the thing together.
Yeah, the creator, the bridge, right? Okay. So between that and, but you know, of course it was like a stupid dream, particularly for a guy with a bad mustache.
Well,
yeah.
You know, now I'm finding out why you're not wearing it any longer. So it's all coming together now.
Yes.
Coming full circle.
Yes, and please don't insert any pictures now if you find them. That would be appalling.
Producer Kevin?
You will lose your entire audience.
Oh,
you'll get a different audience, and it might not be the one that you want. But anyway. But yeah, no, it's so that was it. And then I started out here, and I was driving around in a beat-up old Volkswagen Scirocco. I don't know if you know that one, but that was Volkswagen's attempt at making a sports car.
Okay.
So essentially it took the same engine that it was in the Beagle or whatever, and stuffed it into a car that looked like a sports car.
Got it.
Which is horrible.
Okay.
Because it goes nowhere fast at all, but it just looks like it.
Okay. So you're out here going nowhere fast, selling eyeglasses?
Yes. Yes. Door to door to opticians.
Door to door.
Yes. Oh, okay. The company has said we have a client list in mind for you, and I said, well, where is it? And literally, the guy pointed at a phone booth. Back then, we had them, and said, go get it in there. And basically, the yellow pages. And I tore out every time I went to a new city. I tore out the yellow pages of opticians, and started going, you know, optician to optician around California, in my non-sports car.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it worked.
You're paying the bills.
I'm paying my extraordinary, amazing tuition at the extension of, I think it was $30 per semester.
What year is this?
Oh my God, it's like 1989. Yes.
Okay.
The years of mustaches.
Yes. Well, you know, some people were still wearing mustaches.
Well, the ones that didn't get the memo, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
By the way, I did live in West Hollywood. And for some reason on Santa Monica Boulevard, it was fine.
Yeah, they really appreciate
people there seem to like it.
Yeah.
A lot.
There's a lot of mustache rides given behind the scenes of Santa Monica Boulevard. And in this interview, we're going to go behind the scenes of different areas. So, you know, if that's something that you want to reveal for the first time here, we're fine to go that direction, or we can go.
Maybe we should skip that part, because what if my kids are watching and my ex-wife, and they're going to go, oh, that explains it.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
Dad.
Should we jump to Von Dutch? Well,
I want to tell you one little anecdote, if I may.
Please.
Because, you know, I didn't know what was, but the boss, the owner of the company, was gay, openly, and we were, you know, and so he liked West Hollywood a lot, and so he said, you should live in West Hollywood, but he had not told me anything about West Hollywood. And the second night I'm in, he leaves me there, I got my customer list, and I go down to the nearest bar. And I go and with my mustache, and I'm having a great old time, and I'm first time in America, and I'm literally sitting down at the bar, and the dude next to me says, can I buy you a drink? And I go, oh my God, Americans, they're just so nice. They're the nicest people. So I have a drink. And he goes, can I buy you another one? I go, Mike, no, I'm buying you one. And we're going back and forth. And then he says, do you want to come back to my place? And I go, I don't know about that. And I look around, and I notice now that everybody in there, they're men, and most of them with mustaches. So I was just, okay, it occurred to me, okay, maybe, you know, whatever. But,
yeah.
You know, anyway. But
so you were in there, and that was like the bat signal.
The mustache up on the wall.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I loved it there, and that became my home, and West Hollywood was my place and all that. And then, yeah, and then it worked. And
well, funny story. Do you remember the company Lyft?
Yes.
When they launched, their logo was a mustache.
It was.
And I think it was a play on mustache rides. I'm not even joking.
You're kidding me.
I think that's what it was.
So that was a marketing meeting that should have gone a little further, shouldn't it? Maybe they should have thought. Do you think I could have been the model for this?
Perhaps. Did you ever dye it pink? I mean, you know.
I didn't live in West Hollywood that long.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happened next?
So what happened next is that turns into a career. It turns into offers. I start working for the company selling eyeglasses now in Italy because California worked. Then I got Arizona, Nevada. And then I do the night school. I still study at the extension. Mm-hmm. I'm learning all about producing. My teacher was John Lennox. And this is one thing I always remember. John Lennox was a producer of...